better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Yesterday, the Razorback basketball program made a big announcement, and it got teased by Eric Musselman, who just put out a very simple tweet, a tweet that got everyone talking, everyone excited, and everyone freaking out, and all it was a simple question of, hey, Hawk fans, what are your thoughts on Razorback basketball returning to Barnhill Arena for one night only? That got everybody just absolutely berserk. Because this is something that I know a lot of the older fans have been asking, and even the younger fans have been asking, because Barnhill has been sitting there. You have not played a basketball game there since 1993. It's been that long.
So do either one of you guys ever remember, did y'all ever go to a game at Barnhill?
If I did, I don't remember it.
I wasn't born yet.
When were you born? 94?
Yeah, 94.
Yeah, he was born in 94. So you don't remember it for sure. And how old were you?
My first game was at Bud Walton. I know that.
So, yeah. I remember going as a kid. So, there's a whole generation of people under the age of 30 out here, maybe two generations, like you said, if you go down to like my kids, that they don't know what Barnhill means.
Yeah. Because, I don't really even know what Barnhill meant, other than the fact that you got to see some highlights, that War Machine post up on YouTube. That's kind of the only aura that you know about it. But
my childhood and, I guess, teenage years, I saw a lot of games there.
But you got to admit, though, that there's a lot of schools and programs and all of that that moved on from a different facility. They built new arenas and all that. But very seldom are those arenas being stuck around. They don't last. They don't sit around and just, have other uses anymore.
Right.
Very few of those.
Generally, they're torn down.
Yeah, torn down or heavily renovated. But Barnhill never has been. If you walk into Barnhill, over the past, I guess, now 30 years, getting close to it, it's pretty much the same. I know there's been some changes, but it's...
Turned into a multi-sport facility volleyball and gymnastics.
So
last time I was in there was about 2 years ago. I took my daughter to a gymnastics meet there.
Yeah. So it still has athletic uses. And when this whole question was asked by Eric Musselman, people just started freaking out. And it was exciting for people because they're like, wait a minute, we were told by the previous administration that it was not feasible to have any sort of basketball event in Bud Walton Arena, at Barnhill Arena. It was not possible. You just couldn't do it. But now here in first year of Eric Musselman, hey, what do you guys think? Well, anyways, he asked that. Everyone got talking. Everyone got excited. And then the official announcement came out from the Razorback basketball program and Eric Musselman simply saying, we're having a throwback night. Team Eddie versus Team Nolan for the red-white game on October 5th at 3 p.m.
Well, I wish the tease would have lingered out there a day or so, but it was a couple hours.
Quick turnaround.
I knew when he teased it, something was in the works, because you don't tease that just off the cuff.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, maybe he just doesn't understand in this state how nostalgic we are as a people, how we are at I remember Wynn State, and we all remember the UNLV game or some of those great Texas games. There's one I remember it was just the weather, where me and my dad and my brother and one of my dad's close friends drove up on the old 71 highway because,
49 wasn't built.
49 wasn't. They were working on it in my childhood, but really, it was in my late teens, around 20, when they finally got that thing opened up. And I remember making many trips up the old one, and there'd always be someone holding up traffic. But we went to an Arkansas Bethune-Cookman game, because anytime you were offered tickets to a game at Barnhill, you took them, no matter who the opponent was, because you couldn't get tickets.
Hot ticket.
It was like trying to go to the Masters, man. You couldn't get in. And I remember we went in, it was cold, one of them cold nights, and came out, and there was like a foot of snow on the ground. Took forever to get home. It was a school night. We still had to get up and go to school. I remember... That's one of my memories, is going in, no snow on the ground, coming out like foot of snow on the ground. It seemed like it as a kid.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a Barnhill story or two.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is, it's like since I didn't get to go.
But I do,
but,
you know.
But like my parents and my dad, who grew up being a Razorback fan, went to the U of A. He knows Barnhill, like, you know, back even during the Eddie days, and kind of jealous because, you know, my mom's first Razorback event, she didn't grow up a Razorback fan, but her first event was at Barnhill Arena when Shaquille O'Neal came to town and the Big O stuffed him there to send it to overtime.
Right at the end of the era.
Yeah. Everyone's got a story.
Before it, but.
Of course, Dickie V was in the house and you didn't sit down the entire game. I mean, but that's the thing, Tommy, is this for people my age and for my generation that didn't get to experience that. That's all Barnhill is just lore. It's lore and stories, which makes us who grew up Razorback fans excited about this type of opportunity where you have basketball. It's like, hey, we didn't get to see it, even if it's a red-white game. It's a meaningless game, but it's still something that we can at least go in there and kind of get a feel of, like, so basketball being played here, here's how the seating was set up, here's how packed it could get. I mean, it just will at least give you a little taste, not a full-on, you know, serving of it, but a taste of what it was like.
Remember if you've been in there, they're still structured this way. The corners, you know, you'd have the long, high-rising stands behind the benches and across from the bench area in the old basketball days. Seemed like they went forever up to the ceiling. And then you had the corners that were kind of shorter segments. They had these little tables back in the day on the front, kind of like just wasn't really a table, but just a place you could set popcorn and drinks. Frank always sat at one of those spots. And I remember I always thought it was amazing as a kid that Frank Broyles was sitting right there and he having his popcorn. And it seemed like every time I went, he had a red sweater on watching a basketball game. That's where he sat. And boy, he got into him at times. And Jim Robkin and the band, and they'd run around and go crazy, and the light meter. And that's what people, that's why this red-white game, and you got to bring the light meter, and you got to bring Robkin back for this deal somehow. You got to figure all that out. Got to get that light meter. We've been told the light meter is still in the underbelly there somewhere, it's somewhere. Somebody knows where it's at. You got to have all that for this one night. If not, you got to make a new light meter.
Mm-hmm. And I know it's just the red-white game, but what I'm hoping, and this is we'll find out more from Eric Musselman as he meets with the media today at 2 p.m., but what I'm hoping is that this red-white game is just a trial run. It's to see how it goes, and then maybe in future seasons, you can actually have a regular season game there.
Maybe. That's my hope. I know that, remember when we went through all this with War Memorial versus Plain and Fayetteville, and, well, you got to have these list of required infrastructure facility type things to make it happen. Remember, every game is under instant replay that has to connect back. Now, maybe Barnhill has the fiber ran in there. Maybe it's not a big deal to get it in there. But I know you got to have replay that you got to be able to do. And I know some of those facilities are just, if they're not in that building, they're feet away because the football stadium's right over. But you know, you got to think about things like that.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, they've had SEC network events there. And I'm not saying that means that they have the capability, but I'm just saying they have it.
It may be wired because you're right. They do gymnastics and volleyball in there. And I don't know. Do they have replay for volleyball or gymnastics? I don't know. And, hey, all the wires and cables they need may be right there. But I just know there's things like that that have to be in place to play a real basketball game there.
Of course.
And so it's not just as easy as turn the lights on, roll some basketballs out, and let's go. You know,
yeah. If that was easy, I mean, that would be ideal. But, you know, like we have a few people texting into our Cherokee Casino hotline, 877-377-6963. As soon as we started this conversation, we have people pouring in of their moments. I mean, we got Robert Cedarville saying the band and the noise meter, man, oh man, what a time. I mean, you had people just saying how great of an atmosphere it was and how as great of a home court advantage as Bud Walton is, which it is. There's still people today say says it has nothing on Barnhill.
Yeah. Scott says he's texted into the show and says, hey, to really make it more nostalgic, everyone should drive up the old 71 to get to the game.
Oh, that would be a nightmare.
Hey, Scott, that's a great idea, but only if we can get the old Ozark Mountain Smokehouse back open. We can stop there and have a sandwich. You know, that back in 1988, we had $7 sandwiches that. What did I put on this thing?
So
you remember the Ozark Mountain Smokehouse?
No.
Oh, my God. That was like the must stop. Then you stop up at Artist Point or you climb. Yeah, I wouldn't climb the tower. Everybody, you know, so many. Have you even driven the old Highway 71 from Fayetteville to Alma?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I
haven't in years.
Back when I was a kid before 49, which was then 540, built, had to do that all the way to go to Rabbit Ridge.
I have gotten car sick and thrown up at just about every mile on that road at some point.
That pig trail's brutal.
That's not the pig trail, though. The pig trail's 23.
23, okay. See, I always
Pigtail is 23 from Ozark to Huntsville, essentially.
Okay. And old, yeah, okay, so old 71, which, by the way,
71 is not the pig trail.
Yeah. You didn't need, and I know that we're talking about traffic and stuff, but I remember always thinking it was weird that we have a tunnel now on I-49 when
that's got about 20 feet of dirt on top of it.
Yeah, makes total sense. Makes total sense. But we got, man, we got a ton of people texting in. Michael in Bentonville texting the Cherokee Casino hotline saying, what is the capacity of Barn Hill? We were talking about that. It's a little under 10,000.
It was 9,000 something back when they had it set up at the end of its run.
Do you think that they can get that many for a red-white game? I mean, it just with the way that they're promoting it, and again, we'll find out details today, but if they're really doing things the right way, if they bring back things like the noise meter, do you think they can get 9,000 people in there?
Yeah.
I do, too. It's general admission.
And it's a bye weekend. I don't think, have they told us the time of day yet?
3 p.m.
3 p.m., okay. So, you know, there's no high school football you're competing with. The only thing they're going to compete with is people that want to watch other college football games or – and you'll fill this up with Benton, Washington, Crawford, and Sebastian County folks for the most part. And there'll be some that drive from other parts of the state. I get that. But a lot of people aren't going to drive from, you know, 4 or 5 hours, I don't think. I may be wrong in order to do that. So I can't wait. It's going to be a fun night, and I think, you know, it's a one-night-only deal. Even though it's a practice, it's a great way to start the Eric Musselman era. Morning Rush is brought to you in part by Metal Mart. They offer high-quality prefabricated metal buildings, metal roofing, carports, and custom trim. They welcome all the contractors as well as the do-it-yourselfers. So if this is a project you're trying to complete on your own, they will help you with that. And they'll get you all the materials you need at the right price. Locations in Fort Smith, Mayflower, Jonesboro, Pine Bluff, and in Little Rock. They also have Metal Direct on Inmar Drive, one block off University behind Napa Auto Parts in the capital city. Metal Mart, the right material for the right price.
Doug from Sherwood texts in and says, is Barn Hill going to turn into a war memorial drama? No, it's not. Because, listen, you have games in Little Rock already in basketball, and nobody is up in arms about that. So I doubt they'll have. In fact, it'll be quite the opposite. People will be more pumped up about having a game in Barn Hill than they would in Bud Walton Arena, just because of the nostalgic of it.
Yeah, there's been talk, you know, particularly back in the Jeff Long administration about demolishing or raising, as they call it. I've never understood why that was the term, but doing away and taking Barnhill down so that you could build a new facility there that was multi-purpose, smaller than Bud Walton, would be perfect for gymnastics and volleyball, small concerts, student events on campus. And I know they have done the study of what it would cost to renovate Barnhill to do that versus building a new one. And I don't, you know, obviously they've not come to a conclusion yet.
No. And I remember hearing that, but then nothing ever developed.
Or maybe then a motorcycle went in a ditch and everything kind of got put on hold. But maybe the conclusion is, we'll just keep the one we got, you know?
Well, and like I brought up, it's just still amazing to me that this facility has lasted and has been around for as long as it has. I mean, because how many other athletic facilities, when teams move out of stadiums or move out of arenas into nicer places, they're either one, demolished, or two, they're renovated so much that you can't even tell it's the same place. But Barnhill has lasted. It's been there for over 30 years where they haven't had basketball. I know that, again, multi-purpose stuff. But even over that period of time, they built a new baseball field. They built a new softball field. They built the track facilities. Mm-hmm. No, they've built all these other facilities. But Barnhill has remained. And I think that's what's the most impressive thing of all time. Dwight in Fort Smith texts in and says it would be awesome to host Kentucky and have Slobbering Hog back on the court.
What do you do for a court? I mean, obviously you got to bring one in. My understanding is the old court's not still under there.
No, it's a new logo, new Razorback that's on the court. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. That's why we have to see
because
what's
going
to happen today.
Bud Walton is down. I mean, it's not a movable, portable floor. I don't know.
Yeah, and Ryan and Van Buren texts and says, hey, John, let's do the red-white game at midnight to incorporate the madness.
Well, you've been this from the get-go.
I know.
This is better than Midnight Madness.
It is. It is. And I will fully admit it. I love me some Midnight Madness, folks. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, I've been a big advocate of it. But this is about as cool of an idea when it comes to a red-white game, especially, as I can think of. And I'm just glad. I know that Eric Musselman was probably somebody who, you know, of course, he loves the nostalgia and everything. But also give a lot of credit to Hunter Yurchek for, once again, doing these small little things It may not just turn into victories in football or even in basketball. This is not going to make the basketball team better by having a red-white game in Barnhill. But it's meaningful, and it means something to the fans, I know. And the fans really appreciate it as well. Kyle in Greenwood texts in, says, student section above the visitor locker room and all the students stomping their feet, pissing off Rick Pitino playing the Godfather when he came out.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the thing. It's like you said, everyone's got a memory or a story or a moment or whatnot from Barnhill. And that's the what's just the incredible thing, because I've heard these. I've heard these before. I've heard all of this. So, I mean, it's just, it's awesome to keep seeing people calling in and texting in and all of that.
So, Nolan has to be on the bench for one of these teams for this night, right? Coach Sutton's health, I don't think, would allow that.
But no, I wouldn't think. But
you got to bring Nolan. Nolan's got to be a part of this.
Oh, well, I mean, one of the teams is named after him.
Right. I mean, so, I mean, like, in the, he's got to be present.
Yes. I think he will. Yeah. I think he will. I'm wondering why, they're calling it a special night, so there's going to be more than just having a red-white game there. I'm wondering what other things they're going to have in store.
What a great distraction from football.
Seriously. what a great storyline to talk about and all of that. I mean, that's just fantastic. Because I know some people still have their high school or college graduations there, too. And it's like the other times that anybody ever been able to do.
I know Bud Walton gets full, and like you said, a lot of the high schools. But, I mean, you guys know I didn't graduate from U of A Fayetteville. But when on graduation day, there's graduations for the different schools on campus around, and that's one of the facilities. So,
yeah.
You know, not everybody graduates in Bud Walton.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike in Murfreesboro texts in and says, can you get tickets early for that game? I would love to be coming from Murfreesboro and would love to go back and take my daughter. It's a 5.5-hour drive, so just wondering. It's general admission, so I don't think it's going to be – it's not going to cost you anything. It's going to be for free, so you're just kind of first come, first serve as far as the seats go. Surely they'll have some – because if it's going to be as packed as what we're thinking, you can't just have it to where you got people with these one-seaters randomly empty because people won't sit next to each other in public places. You're going to have to squeeze everybody in somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to do that.
Ushers.
Yeah.
Ushers, do your job.
Yeah. I it's going to be something like that. But I'm excited about this. I think that having...
I think ticket... And listen, it's hard to print a ticket and go through that expense for a free event.
But is it worth it, though?
But you could do a at home, get it online, print it yourself kind of deal. I think you're right. And I don't know... Are all the seats still rowed and numbered and labeled and where? See, I mean, I don't know.
I don't either. And that's, again, we're going to have a press conference from Eric Musselman today at 2, so we'll find out a lot more.
I only saw one concert, and then we think about Barnhill for basketball games, and obviously that was its chief use, but there were a lot of concerts in there back in the day. Only one I remember going to is I saw George Strait in there one night. God, it's got to have been close to 30 years ago now. But
really? I saw T.I. there.
Did you?
Yeah, if you know who that is.
Nope.
Okay. Saw him, saw Kid Cudi.
That's what they call Treasure Island out in Vegas. The T.I.
No, it's not that.
It's not that.
No. Because they used to have these headliner concerts, and they would have them still at Barnhill. So, I mean, they still use it for all right. these different things.
But I'm just saying people have memories of concerts there, maybe not as much as basketball games, depending on what age you are. But, you know, it's been a great concert venue as well.
Would you have any issue with them having a regular season game there, though?
No, I think it'd be a great idea. You got to figure out how you're going to get season ticket holders and deal with that. It'd have to be almost be like a special ticket. Hey, if you want to go, you got to purchase this ticket separate because obviously, you know, you can't fit 19,000 into 9,000, and they don't sell, but they do sell about 14,000 regular season tickets in Bud Walton. So how do you deal with that? Somebody smarter than me can figure it out.
Well, couldn't you just treat it like football does with either?
War Memorial,
that's what I'm saying.
You just have to figure that out. But you know, it needs to be a nostalgic once a year, once every 2 or 3 year deal, or you end up taking away the special quality of that night.
Yeah,
this is a trial run, hopefully for something bigger.
Yeah, and that's what everyone's hoped for. But it's amazing to me that since we've started this conversation, the amount of you that have been texting in and also tweeting in, just giving your favorite memories of Barnhill because everybody's got them.
Hey, are you tired of your noisy neighbors? If you're looking for a new place to call home, a new apartment, complex, duplex, townhome, single family home, any of those things, whether it's in Northwest Arkansas, the River Valley, Hot Springs, Little Rock, or another state, you need to move to Tulsa, Oklahoma City, looking for a place in Kansas City. Trinity Multifamily manages over 21,000 units in 15 different states, so they're there to help you. Call 479-452-1817 or go online to trinitymultifamily.com and use the easy online search tool to search locations near you. Trinity Multifamily is your teammate in the real estate game.
And I think this what this has also done is it makes people get more excited for basketball in the upcoming season, because you had the schedule that came out earlier this week, which we talked about. Now you have something like this going on. I mean, you start to feel like the University of Arkansas and Hunter Yurecek and the athletic department is listening to the fans now. I mean, this is once again, because if you talked about naming the court after Nolan, getting that back, various things that seemed like they were tedious and small to the previous administration that did not matter and were not done for whatever reason. It seems like there has been special efforts made to try to get the regular fans, the common fans, to feel like they actually have a voice once again. Because it's like something like this. You see how people are excited about it? You're excited about it? I'm excited about it? How difficult would this have been to do over the past 10 years? It just shouldn't have been so difficult. It shouldn't have been like pulling teeth, but for whatever reason it was. Mm-hmm. And I mean, really, what is this?
We were told it couldn't be done.
Yes. And I mean, really, what is this costing the U of A?
Oh, there's some money. I mean, just to take out all the gymnastics stuff. I mean, but it's nominal.
Yes. It's not.
Is it going to cost something? Yeah, because you didn't prep this facility for an event like this in years.
Yeah. You know? But I mean, is it going to set you back?
Thousands, maybe 10,000 bucks. I don't know. But is it worth it?
Yes. Yeah. I think so. I think because, listen, I know it's done, but think about what you can make on concessions.
Well, just say that's not the reason you do it.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying it's not like you're going to make some money on the deal, because I know the concession stands are going to be open, and I already got friends of mine that are from all parts of Arkansas that are going to travel up for a red-white game that they wouldn't have before.
Yeah. Well, I think everyone in your generation and Ty's age, and they ought to experience one game at Barnhill Arena. There's certain things in life that today's generation just don't understand. They need to get a hold of. And, you know, RC Cola, Vin Scully calling a game, and Barnhill Arena probably are three amongst them.
RC Cola?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were an RC Cola guy.
I'm not, but it's a throwback. That's what I'm saying. These throwbacks, you know, there's too many. My kids are not going to know the greatness of Vin Scully calling a game. Y'all never got to really experience Vin Scully when he did games like every week on. That's what I'm saying. There's just certain American treasures and state treasures that everyone should have a piece of. Those are three that come to mind just quickly. The Ozark Mountain Smokehouse. You've never had a sandwich there?
No.
Golly.
I'm sorry. I wish I could. It sounds great.
Listen, it's your loss. Trust me.
No, trust
me. It is your loss.
Hey, I would take one right now if it was available. I would.
Yeah.
I promise you.
It's the best $9 sandwich you could get in 1985.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number three. And nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
I wanted to bring this up in the Razorback update that we had earlier in the show, but you know, there's a few things that happened, and it's unfortunately both news things that happened dealing with some former Razorbacks are both very sad. First off, the Los Angeles Chargers announced that Hunter Henry suffered another major injury. He has had some problems with injury since joining the NFL. He suffered a tibia plateau fracture to his left knee.
I knew the word tibia. All right, that's a leg.
That's in the leg,
yes. That's not good when you got a tibia injury.
But the tibia plateau fracture in the knee.
Ooh.
So it's...
Because he's already had an ACL.
Last year he was out all season, yeah.
But you're not, tibia, you're talking bone here.
Yeah, and the year before that he also suffered through injury. So it's just, he might be one of the unluckiest guys in the NFL. Now, the good news is, if there is a silver lining in all this, is that it doesn't seem to be at this point a season-ending injury. He will be back, and they even feel like he might be back sooner than what most people realize. But he's definitely a very talented player, and it's just unfortunate that he's having to go through this and deal with all this, and once again having to battle through another injury. Hard for him to see the field. But the other real tragic story yesterday is a lot of you, I'm sure, remember the former Razorback Chris Smith, who was a defensive end under late under Bobby Petrino, and of course under Brett Bielema in that 2013 season. Really good player, was drafted into the NFL, was at the Jacksonville Jaguars for a while. He's now at the Cleveland Browns. And This happened yesterday, and he was driving with his girlfriend, and their car was struck in an accident by an impaired driver, and his girlfriend was killed. She was 26 years old, and what's really sad about it all is that they had just had their first child and their daughter 4 weeks ago.
So,
it's apparently, according to the story, that both Smith and his girlfriend were pulled over the side of the highway after their car had a tire malfunction. It spun out and hit the median. So both got out of the car with no injuries there. But then she was hit by an oncoming vehicle as they were
out. Listen, I've told my kids, I tell my wife, you hear these type of stories far too often. Very tragic, very sad. If you have a problem with your car on the side of the road, get as far off the road as you can, and then don't get out of the car. Call somebody. Call 911 and have a trooper or someone come and help you. Because people don't pay attention. Unfortunately, there's too many people texting, not paying attention to the road, distracted, and then this kind of thing happens. Don't ever get out. Y'all listening to me? Ty, are you listening to me? Don't ever get out on the side of the road on an interstate where people are doing 80 miles an hour and try to fix your tire or figure out what's going on. Don't do it. Because this is far too often a story where someone's trying to fix a flat on the side of the road or fix something with their car or get something out of the trunk or whatever. Just wait. Let somebody come help you.
Call Tom is what he's saying.
Do it. Because that's the people don't pay attention.
Yeah.
And then you're not paying attention trying to, and you step out in the road and bam. I mean, it's just, don't do it. That's my PSA for the day.
Yeah, and apparently the woman who was driving the vehicle that struck him had admitted to police officers that she had been drinking.
See, I mean, so it's just sad. Just don't get out on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Call the state troopers. Call 911. Let them come get behind you. If you got a change of, call a wrecker. Call somebody that can give you some cover, so to speak.
Yeah.
Just, it's a sad deal.
Yeah, and like you said, it happens way too often. So just it's just a sad story and sad overall. So, and then things like when those things happen too, it's just, I can't imagine what Chris Smith is going through. I mean, you had an accident, you got in a wreck, you tried to get out and try to get everything situated there, and then something else happened. So yeah, you just got to be careful in those situations.
I don't care how bad you're out of gas. I'll bring it to you.
Yeah.
just don't get out on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Someone's going to hit you.
Yeah. And also, when people are going 80 miles an hour down the road, their quick decision-making isn't always always the best, even if they are sober. And it's not like they have to be drinking and driving.
Hey, I was coming around the curve. I was going from Barling. I had to go to Fayetteville yesterday and on to Huntsville. Made a big circle yesterday. The big curve there is you come out of the river bottoms. You've been through it, and you're a mile away from getting on 540 to get on 49. Dude crosses the, he's not paying attention. I can see him. He's looking at his phone, crosses the center line, realizes what he does, and jerks it hard right to get out of my lane. I didn't think I was going to have a wreck, but if I hadn't been paying attention, I mean, it can happen that fast. You're rolling down the road, minding your own business, and it's some other bonehead that crashed into you because they're, returning a text to somebody is more important.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, I've been guilty of doing that too, but at least I try to do it when no one's anywhere around me,
if I actually do it, because I admit I do, but if I was actually doing it, I either one, I do it when I make sure I'm at a stoplight or I'm stopped.
That's what I try to do.
Or two, I do the talk to text.
That's helped. That has changed the way I do it.
Yes, you know? Because I mean,
and I've just realized none of these are that important.
No,
it's that important, I'll just call you.
There's a lot of people that feel like, what did people do when they didn't have cell phones and drive? They listened to the radio. I
was
guess.
Thinking about this yesterday on that same trip. I just stopped. I was between Fayetteville and Huntsville, and a good friend of mine is traveling overseas this week, and him and his wife were in London yesterday, and I'm texting with someone in London, England, from Huntsville, Arkansas. Now, just think about that a minute. You're using this phone to talk to someone via text halfway around the world or whatever it is. And it's just amazing. I know that that's not like new technology today, but just think about that a second.
Yep. And you'd probably be pissed off if it didn't go through the way you wanted it as quickly.
Why isn't this faster?
Yeah. Because you think about it, like, if you go back in time 50 years, be like, what made me mad today?
Get my photo of Big Ben.
What made me mad today is that I could not send a text message around the world to somebody.
Think about it a second.
If you could go back back in time and tell somebody that. Like, no. The biggest problem I had, you had to deal with the depression. Oh, you're having to deal with, some sort of fast or famine. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I couldn't send a text message across the world in the time that I wanted to do so.
My late grandfather, who grew up on a farm in North Carolina, became a Cubs fan because the neighbor, who was miles away, by the way, the neighbor wasn't like next door, the miles away, he went to their farmhouse and sat on their front porch and listened to an AM radio. They didn't have TV in the 1935, and that's how he loved the Cubs, because that was the station they could get, was WGN or whatever it was that carried the Cubs games. That's why he loved them as a kid and loved them his whole life. Think about that. And you talking about you can't get your take. You know, my grandfather had to walk miles to the neighbor's house to listen to an AM radio on a porch. Passed away just over a year ago, in his late 80s.
If I can't check Twitter.
And now we're texting with people halfway around the world.
I can't check Twitter. can't get it to load as quickly as I want it.
I'm telling you.
It's the way it is now.
So pay attention.
Yes, that's the whole premise of this.
Guys, go home and tell your wife and your kids that are driving, don't ever get out on the side of the road. Just call somebody.
Especially on a major freeway where people are going
49, 40. You know, don't even do it on a city street, but especially sure as heck don't do it on the interstate.
Yeah, especially not those. No, good word of advice there. All right, let's hop right into our SEC update on the Morning Rush.
Somebody said we've got SEC bias. Deal with it. They're the best.
In the SEC, it just means more.
I know one thing. The SEC just got a little tougher.
This is your SEC update on the Morning Rush.
All right, it's time for your SEC update presented by Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear.
Hey, if you thought they didn't have enough going on at the Ozarks, they got even more. Now they can print your logo, screen print it, or embroider it on basically anything. You want t-shirts, staff shirts, any kind of shirt you can imagine, or if you want some gift items for the holidays and you want to print something on leather, canvas, really anything, they can do it at the Ozarks, and it's all done in-house. They've got the latest state-of-the-art printing and embroidery equipment. So if you want high-quality printing and embroidery, see the staff of the Ozarks. They can do it right there in the store for you. It's Ozark Outpost Clothing and Footwear and Ozark Sportsman Supply off Highway 412, barely out of Springdale and Taneytown.
So for your SEC update, the big news coming out from East Tennessee was that cornerback Bryce Thompson has been officially cleared to return to practice. He was suspended after allegedly having a very physical altercation with his girlfriend. Also included, allegedly, again, of threats of shooting up the school. So, needless to say, I guess they went through their investigation and found that he's now okay to come back to practice.
We all got that in us. Like, when we're really mad, we'll just say the stupidest things that we don't really mean.
Well, I hope I never say anything that stupid,
I think when we're young that, you know, well, you mature and you learn not to say things like that, because now you go to jail for saying, like, I'm going to come kick your bleepity bleep, you know, or something that's really threatening, like, I'm going to, you know. But I think everyone at a young age has had, you know, they just, the pot boils over.
They're having the good old fashioned days of just throwing things. You know, like, why does it have to go to violence or anything? Right. Just throw, like, get something that is expensive and throw it against the wall.
Like a 5-iron?
Because you'll learn. Yeah, exactly like that. Because
nothing will frustrate you more than golf sometimes.
You don't have to do it at, you don't throw it at anybody. Just throw it at the wall, throw it outside, throw it down the hallway. Just do that. Happen the good old days.
So, mate, you just got to be careful what you say, because it's amazing what is threatening. Now, obviously, you're threatening to shoot up the joint.
Yeah, it's pretty serious
that's
threat.
That's pretty serious stuff. And then domestic violence, very serious thing there. So, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying all of us have had a moment in our life where our pot boiled over and we probably said something. Then we were lucky that we lived in a world at that moment where you didn't go to jail or get kicked off a team or fired for having a moment of insanity. Thank God I haven't.
Yeah. And thank goodness there's no cameras in this place to record the things that me and Ty say to each other about you, Tom.
Brutal.
You're gone. So,
it's brutal. Oh, yeah. We got cameras and a microphone. I'll play the tapes back someday.
Yeah, do that.
Big brother listening in.
Do that. Hey, and this is also in the SEC news. This was funny because so many people were upset by this. But Bill Bender, who I guess is for Sports Illustrated, who he is for Ty?
Sporting News.
That's right. Yeah, I meant to put down where he was from, but I forgot. It was Sporting News. He came out with his top 10 quarterbacks of all time. Because you know this is 150 years of college football. So they're always doing these iconic look backs on particular players and teams and legends and all of that fun stuff. Well, he made this list of the top 10 college football quarterbacks of all time. And there's two of those players who are from the SEC. In fact, the number one and the number two quarterbacks of all time are from the SEC. Tommy, could you guess who one and two are?
Of all time?
All time college
football. I'm probably going to miss someone.
Well, I'll give you a hint. It's in your lifetime.
I was going to say Manziel and Tebow come to mind. Like
Tebow?
Did you got Peyton Manning?
And that's number two.
Okay.
I mean, Tebow's number one.
All right.
Peyton Manning's number two.
All right. I mean, those are the three that come to mind. I was trying to make sure someone like from, you know, Pat Dye's days at Georgia or someone wasn't missing or something.
Or Gomer Hickam or something like that exactly. Back from 1930. Wait,
don't you remember that year in 58 he had?
Yeah.
It wasn't quite as good in 59, you know. But, no, Peyton Manning, Tebow. Tebow and Manziel come to mind first. And then Manning's got, you know, how did Manning not ever win the Heisman? I don't know, but, you know.
I mean, how did Darren McFadden not win the Heisman? So, good, you know, we all got those questions. But number three comes in at Matt Leinart from USC. Tommy Frazier from Nebraska is at number four. Vince Young at number five. Mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson at number six. Roger Staubach from Navy, of course, in number seven. Doug Flutie of Boston College, number eight. John Elway from Stanford, number nine. Number 10 is Sammy Baugh from TCU. Now, I see this list, and again, it's just a guy's opinion. But to me, and you can disagree with me, Tommy, because you got a few more years on me. There was not a greater college football quarterback than Cam Newton at Auburn. I know he played 1 year, but as far as he went undefeated, he won the Heisman, he was dominant, he single-handedly gave Auburn a national championship. It's hard for me to figure out any of these guys. I'm saying he has to be number one, but not even be on the top 10 list.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's crazy.
I don't know about number one, but He really changed the way college football was played with the RPO stuff and really was kind of the catalyst to force Alabama to change the way they play offense. Saban saw enough out of that and some of these other up-tempo quarterback keep run, smash mouth spread type stuff. That was really kind of the beginning of Saban saying, all right, I got to bring in somebody.
I got to fix this.
And gets Lane Kiffin in there to kind of help turn that thing around, right?
Yeah. And now Alabama
modernized the offense. I mean, Cam Newton was kind of at the start of it when they beat him and took the national title from him, you know.
And Alabama was not having NFL caliber quarterbacks under Nick Saban for a while. I mean, they were considered more game bus drivers, is what
people were saying.
Yeah, and they were more for the defense and smash mouth football. Well, now look at them. I still think that they're, of course, they're great defense and all that, but they're now known for just having playmakers.
And Tebow was kind of Cam Newton before Cam Newton, right? I mean, because he was a threat to run it. He did a lot of the same stuff, I guess.
He wasn't
as big and physical, and his wind up was slow, and his delivery. He wasn't as pure a player. I'm just saying the things they were trying to accomplish on the field were very similar.
Well, Tebow was like a fullback though. He was built, and so
he ran the ball and he threw the ball.
Right.
His passing threat wasn't as the same as. I'm just saying the things they were trying to do with Tebow were very similar to what Newton did at a much better level.
Yeah, because Newton, here's the thing, like, because Tebow never, he was a decent thrower, but he was never a good thrower.
Why he didn't make it in the league. It just took too long to deliver the ball.
And that's the thing is, Cam Newton, as far as I can't think of anybody else that had a better combination of beating you with his legs and with his arm.
Right.
I know that there's guys that were faster, and there's probably better quarterbacks with their arm, but as far as having both elements, I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to think of anybody better.
They tried to do what Cam Newton was able to do is what they were trying to do with Tebow two or three years before that or whatever.
And just imagine if, you know, because Cam Newton was at Florida. He was going to be the guy after Tim Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine how that would have happened.
Money talks.
I'm telling you, you know, Urban Meyer had some really good players and really good quarterbacks. Man, it's amazing how he was able to pull that off. But either way, I don't know. When I saw that, I was just like, I get Tebow, I get Manning, but to not have Cam Newton even in the top 10, don't think I can get on board with that.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I mean, Cam Newton single-handedly led a team. Now, they had a great defense and a great defensive front. Well, but he single-handedly led that team.
But did they have a great defense, though?
They did give up. They
40 points to Tyler Wilson. No offense.
But they stopped the run well.
Yeah.
Go back and look at their run stats. They were run stoppers.
Their D-line was good, and their offensive line was nothing but seniors, like across the board, talented seniors.
But they don't, without Cam Newton.
Yeah. That's a 7-5, 8-4 team.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. But that's, I just remember back to those days. And I don't know if you'll see any other player that had that much of an impact. Maybe Vince Young throwing him out there as well. But, you know, that it's amazing how many great quarterbacks, or at least some of the greatest of all time, have come here in recent memory here on college football.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Welcome in the recruiting expert, Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Richard. How's it going, my man?
Doing well, man. How's those anger management classes going for you, buddy?
Well, they're coming along great. I'm hoping to go through the whole program here within the next month.
They're so very frustrating for you.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. That's why I don't hang out with you too much in the press box. I've seen too many things fly around, so... Yeah. I hope it gets better.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm really working on it and appreciate this.
You told me
there,
you didn't hang out with him because you just thought he was a jerk. So, I mean, that's a nice way.
Oh, that there. Too. I'm not going to lie to you.
As always, Richard, appreciate you hopping on with us, man. So, I want to get
to love you, buddy.
Yeah, I love you too, Richard. Always love you, man. But I wanted to hop in with some recruiting stuff. Obviously, there's a lot going on. But, you know, I wanted to start really with the next 2 weeks with Razorback football, because we know how official visits are important. What's the situation look like as far as visits this weekend especially, and what's kind of the next few weeks going to be holding as far as forecasting with these visits?
Well, as of now, there's no official visits for football or basketball this weekend. They will have some unofficial visitors, there'll be some in-state kids, some out-of-state kids, obviously. And one of the more intriguing guys is Marlon Crockett. He's a kid who moved in to Searcy, Arkansas from Texas. He was a newcomer of the year last year from where he came from, but 6'4", about 190. Kid to keep an eye on. He'll be up there, but no official visits this weekend.
I guess it goes without saying that the big weekends this year are going to be the Auburn game and the Mississippi State game.
Yeah, definitely the Auburn game. There are already several kids saying that they're coming for football and basketball. So that'd be the biggest weekend period as far as the basketball and football recruiting.
Speaking of basketball, we learned yesterday they're going to play the red-white game, the bye weekend there on October 5th at Barnhill Arena, which, you know, is great nostalgia. We love to remember when in this state. What were your reactions as someone who grew up – you know, knowing that, you know, what Barnhill was all about, setting the tradition of a fan environment. And, you know, the kids are recruiting today. They don't know anything about Barnhill Arena. Is there any kind of recruiting play with this event they're going to have there on the first Saturday of October?
Well, I think a little bit, they can go back and replay some of the history that came out of Barnhill, which a lot of that's really where it all started.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with Andy Sutton, and then obviously with Coach Richardson, and you can tell them that's where they played right before Bud Walton's first year, where they won the national championship. So obviously a lot of great players played at that arena, and it's I think it's, you know, one thing that you got to give Coach Musselman and his staff a lot of credit for, and I mentioned this to somebody the other day. Man, I tell you what, he's thinking outside the box to try to create some interest and get the fans involved, and also some former players doing a really good job there. So I think he's pushing all the right buttons right now. The next thing he obviously has to do is win games, and I think he's going to do that.
Well, Richard, I know that the player that, as far as basketball goes, they're always going to be interested in Moses Moody, a five-star player that has some Arkansas ties, at least to the state of Arkansas. And it looks like he's officially set to visit the Hogs during the Auburn game, has a lot of offers everywhere. So you mentioned how football is a big deal for that Auburn game, but is basketball going to be the same way, where Musselman's going to have a lot of visitors in for that weekend as well?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, you mentioned Moody. And then I think next weekend will also be a pretty good weekend for Arkansas, too. Chris Moore's supposed to visit. But some of these other guys finalize their plans, I think you're going to start hearing quite a few more on that Auburn weekend, as far as for as far as basketball. And like I said earlier, football is definitely going to be a big weekend.
Recruiting Thursday, Richard Davenport with us here. He joins us on the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Hey, a couple weeks of high school football. We've had week zero and week one. It's technically week two coming into this week, a couple weeks from conference play beginning. Any storylines out of high school football, some of the players that the Hogs are on here in state? What have you noticed from the high school football trends early this season around the natural state?
Well, I know this Friday I'll be at Conway in Jonesboro with Central Arkansas fans, or even Northwest Arkansas fans want to see Deshaun Stewart play, the defensive end slash linebacker from Jonesboro. That's a good opportunity to get some good competition. And I just love the kid. I remember seeing him on film last year and instantly was just blown away by him. I know he's getting a little bit more love on the national level, but he's a guy that just so explosive. And you look at his film, and the first thing that came to mind when I watched him, he was violent. Violent on the field and very physical. And he's fun to watch, and I encourage anybody, if they're anywhere around Conway, Arkansas, Friday night, to maybe go out there and see who I think could be a special player on the college level.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Always appreciate it, Richard. Have a great weekend, man. I love you, buddy. We'll see you next week. All right?
Love you too, man. See you.
Appreciate it.
Just a love fest.
Yeah, that's what we have to do. We have to end that way.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.